Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. With that gavel, I have convened the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development for April the 29th, 2015. We are gathered together today for an informational hearing that involves heavy truck R&D, research and development. And I would welcome up to the table Bob Russell from the Oregon Trucking Association, Brian Paul from Oregon State University, and Derek Rotz from Daimler Trucks North America, please. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and whatever order you want to bat in is just fine.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Bob Russell with the Oregon Trucking Associations, and I'm really pleased to be here this afternoon to bring you this fantastic proposal between Oregon State University and Daimler Heavy Trucks North America. This whole thing started back in 2012, and I was reading an article about a project between University of Washington and Microsoft. And basically what they did is the two entities created a joint software research lab. And it was staffed by University of Washington graduate students and Microsoft software engineers. And they were developing new pieces of software. As they developed the software, the University of Washington got some of the proceeds from the intellectual property. And when the students graduated from UW, they went to work for Microsoft. And Microsoft had trained engineers that they brought on board that they'd already been working with. And it seemed like a fantastic symbiosis between higher ed and the private sector. So I talked to who was then the senior transportation advisor to Governor Kitzhaber, Lynn Peterson, and said, this is a fantastic idea, and we happen to have one of the largest research and development centers for trucks in Portland, and we have an engineering school at Oregon State University. We could create something similar here, and it would have all kinds of benefits. And she thought that that was such a great idea that we first talked with Derek, and he said, you know, we've got over 100 vacant engineering positions today, and we don't know where we're going to get qualified engineers to fill those positions. It would be great if there were a university that were actually training people in heavy truck engineering and mechanics. He said that a lot of the engineers that they hired at that time were coming from Michigan because they had automotive programs. They weren't truck specific, but they were automotive. At least they had some understanding. And he thought it would be a real benefit to Daimler if they could hire trained engineers from OSU that were familiar with heavy trucks. So we went down, Lynn Peterson and Derek and I went down and talked to the folks at OSU. And they thought that it was a perfect thing for them. They had a new program that was up and running where they were trying to create these partnerships between industry and the university. So we started at that point developing this proposal. We came here in 2013, and all of us, there was must have been 10 or 15 of us, sat around the table with Senator Beyer, and Senator Beyer started asking questions. After that meeting, it became pretty clear that it would be best if OSU and Daimler left the building, talked among themselves, sort of worked out their relationship and how that was going to happen. And then when they got all that done, and they could answer Senator Beyer's questions, to come back here with a proposal. And that's why we're here today. We have a fully developed proposal, and it's ready to go. So rather than me telling you about that, I would like to turn it over to the experts. We have Brian Paul from Oregon State University, and we have Derek Rotz from Daimler Heavy Trucks. And I believe Brian is going to start.
Sure.
Thank you. If you'd identify yourself for the record, please.
Sure. Brian Paul, professor at Oregon State University. So I've been at Oregon State about 20 years, And so a lot of my background in educating students is associated with manufacturing industry. So we work closely with manufacturing industry in the state. So what I want to do is kind of step you down through the brief on what's actually in this proposal, give you a little bit of background about the relationship between OSU and Daimler, and then kind of just summarize with some of what we see the benefits out of what we're trying to do here. So a little bit of background here. So one of the things that we're pretty proud of at Oregon State University is that we're doing a fair job, I think, of educating students with regards to automotive engineering, I guess I would say. So evidence of that is the Society of Automotive Engineers puts on competitions around the country and around the world every year. And just, you know, a sense of how we've done in two of those categories. One is with the Formula race car down here. So we actually have two teams that frequently compete, like I said, around the world. You know, and very often we finish first with regards to those things, and then the Baja car as well. So we're actually building four different vehicles each year to be able to support these. Now,
let me stop and ask you a question. How do you work out intercollegiate rivalries with respect to Baja cars? Because some of us were just down at OIT when Ways and Means went on the road, and we were in the lab, and we saw their offering.
I see.
And I'm just concerned about intercollegiate angst about whose team, all joking aside, how many of our colleges have teams that go?
You know, in the state, is that what you're asking? I am not sure about that. I don't have a good
I want you to take
you
home to OSU that OIT car looked pretty top-notch. That looks like they brought their A game.
Excellent. So, good, you know, competition is a good thing. With that background, so we're, you know, to build four cars every year, you know, you're talking an engagement of 100 undergraduate students or more every year that have to self-organize. They basically create an organization, two different organizations to be able to make this happen each and every year. So with that as kind of a little bit of background, I think one of the things that was mentioned is that, you know, the relationship between Daimler, I mean, how's that gotten formed and how's that moved forward? So Department of Energy has a super truck program. You know, one of the major goals out of that is to reduce and increase fuel efficiency. So, you know, a lot of that is done by reducing the weight of the vehicle, improving the aerodynamics, some of those kinds of things. And so we had a couple of our researchers working on that program. You know, in the last five to 10 years, there's been research that's been done in collaboration between OSU and Daimler in the context of that program. And so, I think Bob mentioned us getting together down in OSU campus around February 2013, and that's where this concept for Truck Research Lab kind of came out of. And since that time, I think one of the concepts was to take that SAE program and the students coming out of that, give them a pathway into graduate school to pursue things like trucking research and those kinds of things, which we currently don't have, we hadn't had up to that point in time. So since that point in time, summer internship, so we've had some students up at Daimler that's continuing to move things forward. Most recently, Daimler has donated a Cascadia truck like the one you saw on the first slide. That will be a test bed for helping us to move some of our research forward. So what's before you is $2 million request. The way that's kind of broken out, what we're wanting to do is two key buckets here. So the first one would be to set up the truck research laboratory. When I say set that up, from an engineering standpoint, you know, you design things, you fabricate things, and then you test them. And you got to have test facilities to be able to do that. And it usually costs money to set those things up. So what we're looking at here is, you know, several things that's needed to set up that truck research lab. First of all, we need an operations manager that's going to oversee, allow students to get access to equipment, do that safely, being able to maintain that equipment, some of those things going forward. And I think in the proposal...
Let me stop you for a second so I can understand. An operations manager, is this at a professorial level? Is this just an ops guy? What's the character of the job description? And then is this a one-time startup, or is this expected to have a duration? We can't bind future legislatures.
Right. The proposal is for one time. So I think the operations manager's function is in addition to, you know, making sure the facility's set up to do the research and that students and faculty can get access to that. It's also working with industry, so building relationships. To effectively work on research with industry, you've got to have people that are managing relationships and those kinds of things. So I think that would be some of the key functions and key efforts that would be associated with what that person would do.
Thank you.
And then that person's not going to be able to set up all those test stands by themselves. So, you know, being able to have what we're calling fellows, these are graduate students. And so these would be fellowships that would be provided. We're looking at $500,000 that would be used to support on the order of 2 to 3 students that are going to be working over a couple-year period of time to get the laboratory actually in place and set up.
And do these students get a stipend as well as academic credit?
Yep, there would be a stipend. There would be tuition types of things associated with what they're doing. There would be supplies. So students in graduate school are there to do a thesis. And so, you know, in addition to setting up these test facilities, we would expect them to use those test facilities in actually executing some of their projects.
And are the students chosen on academic merit or financial need or just the first guy in the queue? How do they get selected?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So we've had some experience with some other industry sectors. So I think Tektronix as an example, Intel as an example, where we've done industrial fellowships with some of those different kinds of companies. And, you know, one of the things when a company is able to ahead of time make a commitment to us with this, you know, these kinds of funding, we can actually go out and recruit. So we could actually do a recruiting process that would allow us to go after, you know, higher class talent. In terms of across the state. And so I think that's one of the things that this could be used for. And so that process typically involves the company as well as the university member looking at who some of those different applicants are and then moving forward with the appropriate applicant.
I have to offer my apologies. I'm going to scoot next door and testify on a bill, and I'll be right back.
Okay. So should I just continue?
May I ask?
Right here.
Okay.
You may indeed.
All right.
First, we're going to pause for a question from Senator Hansel.
Yes.
I'm assuming this is a biennial budget or not an annual?
I believe that's correct.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hansel, this is a pilot project that we're doing, and it actually will extend over about a 3-year period of time. Okay. So when we talk about the fellowships, They're going to be phased in over a period of time, and they overlap, actually. And just to elaborate a little bit, the money for the fellowships would actually go to Daimler because they would be interviewing and selecting the people that would receive the fellowships, in part from a pool of interns that they had working in the summers and those kinds of things. But they want to be able to select the best of the best. Because part of the idea here is that when these folks graduate, they would transition from students to employees of Daimler. So Daimler needs to be intimately involved in the selection of the fellows.
Any other questions?
I wanted to go back to the money we're putting out for this research project. How does this compare to comparable fellowships that might be in other departments or other programs?
And you mean outside of OSU or inside of OSU?
Well, let's keep it within the family.
I think this is a very attractive. I think we're going to see that these are very attractive practices, and so, you know, to be able to recruit the best and the brightest, that's the nature of what we're looking at here.
So you get your graduate tuition.
Yes.
And how large a stipend?
So $2,000 a month. One of the things is, as a graduate student, they can't work over 0.49 of a full-time equivalent. So, you know, they have to be in a part-time kind of a position. So around $2,000 a month is what a typical stipend would be.
So $2,000 a month for a part-time job plus tuition?
Yes. And then I think supplies depends on the project in terms of what level that's, you know, those supplies will be at. The test stand and the equipment associated with the test stand are some of the components and considerations that would go into that.
All right. And I heard you say this is a pretty attractive fellowship then. And is this based on a what period of time?
So I think the program overall is 3-year, but I think to stand up the laboratory, we're talking about the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. I'll defer to my colleagues there.
Mr. Chair, yes. What we did is one fellow starts and then continues, and then the second fellow overlaps with the first one. So for the middle year of the 3-year period, you would have two fellows on board, and then the second fellow finishes out the third year. So it's an overlapping of the two fellows.
And I'm sorry, I'm just trying to understand, so is this going to be year-round? Is this based on semesters?
Yes, I mean, typical projects for a MS student, which is what we would be looking at, master's science, would be a couple years is what we expect our program to be. And so that's, I think, the idea of overlapping over a 3-year period of time. You might actually see a couple people overlapping. I think one of the reasons for that is that I think we're lining up to have a intern this summer. Mm-hmm. So we'll have one kind of in place, and then you got to kind of recruit the second intern to help out with that. So again, this is when I look at this budget here. So there's the operations manager. There's then the fellows themselves, which we're talking about here over the period of time we just talked about. And then the last piece here is that the facility itself. So we don't have all of the equipment in place. Nor the facilities to be able to, house a truck of the size that we're talking about, be able to execute on some of the research, the types of research, aerodynamics, modeling, and some of the things that we'd be looking at. So those are the three components, the director, or the what we're calling the operations manager, and then the helpers, if you will, that would be the MS graduate students to allow them to spend some time at Daimler in the summers. I think Daimler's putting up some of the monies for that, and then spend the time down at OSU implementing some of the test beds. And then the money for the test beds themselves was just to facilitate and equip the laboratory.
And the overhead is built into the graduate student budget up there?
Yeah, so a typical budget we would have with state monies would have like a 26% overhead that would be associated with some of those kinds of things.
Okay, well, thank you. Any other questions from anybody? Let's continue then.
Okay. So that's just to stand up the trucking research lab. What we really want to do with it is do research, right? So that's what this extra $500,000 is for. And so the plan with that would be one-to-one match with industry. So the idea is that as we're putting this together, I mentioned the operations manager's got connections to start developing, working with Derek, and start developing connections with the trucking industry. As we begin to get proposals that want to make use of that lab, exactly how we set up, how those proposals would come in, has yet to be determined. But the idea would be those proposals would come in, and we'd see around $1 million worth of funding in the first couple years through the kind of match program that we're talking about there. That funding could be directly funded by industry, or we could further leverage those monies to go after federal proposals. And so I think both of those would be in play in terms of, you know, if it's just industry, it's one-to-one. If we actually find federal programs during that time that we want to take some things for, and I think Derek is going to talk about the potential for some of those future Department of Energy federal programs and stuff going forward. If that's in place in that time, then we could you know, maybe we can go beyond one-to-one match on those monies in terms of leveraging research. So that's kind of the two pieces. Set up the laboratory and then get the seed funding, the pilot funding, get some research projects going, get relationships moving, and set us up for what we believe down the road there will be some Department of Energy grants that will put us in a fair light for future work. Is that fair? Okay, so that's what's in the proposal. You know, from a benefit standpoint, I think you got benefits to the student, benefits to the institutions, and then benefits to Oregon. You know, on the student side, you could see the healthy undergraduate program, a lot of excitement around automotive technology. Trucking technology is going to be right in their wheelhouse. You know, being able to have more research in that area is going to allow them to move from undergraduate into the graduate. And when you're at graduate level, the reason you're at a graduate level is to learn how to do research and development. Research and development are very high-paying jobs. So this gives an opportunity and pathway for the students to get to those high-paying jobs. You know, OSU and Daimler, through this program, can attract top talent, as we've discussed. And then I think federal dollars, I think that is what we also discussed as a means to leverage some of these monies to move and put us in good light for future federal dollars. And then finally, I mean, one of the things to think about here is we're talking about fuel efficiency. So, you know, if you really want to make an impact as a state, if we want to make a large impact, it's kind of cool thinking about improving the technology on the truck, which is a significant portion of our fuel budget in this country. If we can make big impacts with that, I think Derek will talk a little bit about some of the success that we've had and the potential to further that, then we're in a position to be exporting, basically, you know, technology that further reduces carbon footprint to the world.
Question, Senator.
Yeah.
Along that line, I wrote a question here. Maybe this is time to ask it. What happens if you invent something? What if you create a totally new carburetor or whatever? Who gets the patent on it?
Yeah, that's a great question. The bullet that I have here, just wanted to stress that there's research agreements in place now that spell those terms out. Off the top, I don't know exactly the bottom line on that, but in order for industry to fund work, and the university, those agreements have to be in place for us to move that forward.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hansel, we have had discussions on that, and essentially what we're looking at is...
Excuse me, I just need to get you to identify yourself for the record.
Oh, pardon me, sorry. Derek Rotz, Daimler. So the agreement that we have, essentially, Oregon State would retain ownership of all inventions made on the Oregon State campus. By the research students as an employee of Oregon, of OSU, and we would have a licensing agreement to have an exclusive license with them. That's what we had discussed. Two ways to look at that. One, we could either pay a lump sum in advance in anticipation, and then have an exclusive license, or wait until after something has been invented, and then negotiate from there. But that's basically what we have in mind.
Follow up?
Well, I'm just thinking it's a product that virtually every American's used, Gatorade. And it was developed on the University of Florida campus, Florida Gators. It was named Gatorade. And the university has received income from that invention ever since, and it was a way to fund different research and other things. And I think it, you know, who knows what this is going to be, but if the state is involved in investing the millions of dollars into the program, it would be nice if the results of that program, if it does in fact create what we're going to export to the world, that money would come back to the very university and laboratory and continue there so that you know, you'd be self-sufficient, self-sustaining, could expand the program.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hansel, you said it far better than we have so far. That's exactly the idea. OSU would have a stream of revenue that would develop from this program based on the intellectual property. And as Derek said, Daimler could buy it is with a lump sum, depending on what the needs of the university were, or there could be a percentage of future sales so that it would keep a continuing stream. And some of that has been already worked out. It's part of the agreement that they, between the two institutions.
Well, just follow, Senator? I personally, and I think I speak for some others here, would feel that that would be very important for us to, for my support. I think it's a great program, but if you had that component, make the support that much easier.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hansel, that is there already. We have not released the MOU.
This is Derek Rotz. The MOU has been written. It's basically just waiting signature now.
Okay.
Thank you, Senator. Gatorade's an interesting example, but closer to home, Oregon State is the founder or the inventor of the maraschino cherry. You may be interested to know, which I think has broader and much more interesting applications than Gatorade.
I was going to say, if I may, I think the University of Indiana Dental School had developed Crest toothpaste. That's another.
Well, I always found it interesting that the maraschino cherry and the flea collar came out of the same building and I think probably have the same basic components, but let's continue.
So just to summarize, so we've got this strategic and mutually beneficial relationship. So the university has funds and can grow its funds to do graduate education. Allows us to get students jobs and put good workers in the hands of Daimler. I think the other thing I just want to stress again is that research agreements are in place, which will allow us to move this forward. As Derek has kind of testified, those agreements have it such that technology we're developing on OSU campus, that we have a claim to that. And then an exclusive agreement is what I heard there in terms of moving those things forward. The students are interested. I mean, you can see that we've had a lot of success. I mean, there's a lot of teams. I mean, it's not a few teams that are competing in these fields at a national, international level. So we have a very good reputation as a result of some of the work that we've done. And so those students are ready to work on truck-related research. And we have the expertise and the capabilities down there, and what we're asking for with this state investment is the money to set up the trucking research lab, set up our test beds, and then the seed funds to get started with some of our research projects. Thank you very much.
Any questions? Representative Nierman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Rotz, this is kind of the other side of the coin to Senator Hansel's question here. And to kind of summarize, his question was, hey, what if there is some intellectual property that comes out of this? Shouldn't the state, at least Oregon State University, get a bite out of that? And so the answer that I read is pretty much yes, they are. But the flip side of the coin is, If Daimler's going to be involved in this and putting some stuff, doesn't Daimler get their bite out of the apple too? And can you explain what's in it for you? Is it just the employees that get cranked out at the end, or at least intellectual property? What do you have to say about that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nierman, that's a great question. Daimler's interest, of course, is in two parts. The first one, of course, is generating a pool of local applicants that can fill engineering positions within Daimler. That's a large portion of it. The second part is actually the focus in the area of fuel efficiency, and so looking at research not only in the near term but in the longer term as well, to see what possibilities there are out there. Essentially, we're working in an environment where CO2 emissions is becoming much more critical. Regulations are in play, and we at Daimler typically look out to a certain extent, looking at phase one regulations and phase two, maybe out 10 years or so. When one talks about a 2050 time frame and the level of reductions that's envisioned there is drastically more. And at this point, there's no clear pathway that to get a truck to meet those sorts of emissions levels. And so we see this as sort of a long-term research opportunity to explore really pushing the envelope on those technologies.
Representative, was that responsive, Representative Nierman?
Yes.
Yeah. Representative Whitsitt.
Daimler wouldn't put anything into this, is that correct? Mm. Monetarily.
Madam Chair, Representative Whitsitt, we will bring. There's a presentation that I have, and I'll highlight some of the commitments that Daimler will bring to the table. Essentially, what we plan to commit to is offering summer internships for the master's students that would be part of the fellowship on an ongoing basis. And provide them with sort of real-world truck engineering experience. We have provided already. We have donated a Class A tractor to the Oregon State as part of the research agreement.
Would you indicate the value of that contribution? That's not insignificant.
Madam Chair, yes, that it would be approximately $40,000. The tractor was. And then also, we intend to provide engineering data, 3D CAD models. Basically, this is the building blocks that engineers use to design parts and essentially provide the students and faculty at OSU really all the tools an engineer would need to be really productive on that. And so we look to making it as a productive venture as possible.
Thank you. Okay, I apologize for having to step away for a moment. Have you finished all of the presentations?
No, we've got one more presentation that Derek's going to give.
As you are teeing that presentation up, I know that there are differing opinions at this dais about the low-carbon fuel standard, but one of the things that had intrigued me right from the get-go was the possibility of this partnership between Daimler, that now has a huge Oregon headquarters, and OSU producing real-world solutions to CO2 emissions and better truck performance for the long-haul truckers, given that in the near short term we're probably not going to have electric long-haul trucks. And I had hoped right straight along that had we taken our time with the low-carbon fuel standard and maybe watched or learned more about this maturing relationship, that the R&D coming out of the partnership could result in real fixes that could both be retroactively applied to the Daimler fleet as well as prospectively built into the new class, I think you call them Cascadia trucks, the new super trucks, and that would have a meaningful impact on CO2 emissions. That wasn't the path that was followed, but I still think the level of R&D that comes out of this as it applies to current trucks in use and then the new generation of trucks is enormously valuable in cleaning up the environment.
Madam Chair, Bob Russell with the Oregon Trucking Associations. We think that irrespective of the low-carbon fuel standard, and that this project is very beneficial, not only from Oregon and the relationship between the two entities, but certainly for the meaningful reduction in carbon worldwide. Daimler Trucks, they sell trucks in every continent of this world. And the technologies that are developed here will find their way onto trucks in China, in India, in those places where we desperately need to reduce the carbon footprint. So, yes, Oregon can have a meaningful impact on the climate change issue through this project.
Thank you. Mr. Rotz, are you all teed up?
Madam Chair, yes, I am. Thank you.
The floor is yours.
Thank you. First of all, thank you very much for inviting me to the hearing to testify to the Truck Research Lab. It's been a couple of years that we've been working on this idea and letting it come to fruition. So I appreciate your attention. Firstly, a couple of words to Daimler AG. We're obviously a global company in the transportation industry, manufacturer of passenger cars and trucks. Obviously, the Mercedes car brand is one of our you know, major breadwinners, as it were. But here in the NAFTA region, Daimler Trucks North America with Freightliner and Western Star brands do lead the market, not only in market share, but also in fuel economy, and that's one of our pillars that we value as a company. Despite it having a German headquarters in Stuttgart, we do have a very large presence here in the U.S. There's approximately 20,000 employees, 21,000 employees or so that work across the U.S. And a large number, specifically in Oregon, we're looking at roughly about 4,500 employees, both at the corporate headquarters as well as the truck plants up in Portland. And with that, I'm happy to say as well, we do plan to stay. We have a nice banner in the airport that advertises us calling Daimler, calling Oregon home. Our commitment to the state and the city here. We're currently in the process of building our headquarters here on Swan Island in Portland, and so we're essentially here to stay. Contrary to what some people may say, it was not Henry Ford that invented the automobile. it was actually invented in Germany, and so we have a large heritage, not only with the invention of the single cylinder four stroke engine, but also the first Motorenwagen, as Carl Benza termed it, and that started a pretty long legacy of inventions and engineering excellence within the company. And this is just sort of a snapshot of some of the prize technologies that have been developed. Whether it was the first vehicle in the 1950s that had the crash zones, crash compartments that helped drastically improve safety and lives on the road, to the invention and market launch of the automated anti-lock brake systems, ABS. And so this is in the company's DNA. One speaks of German engineering in a sort of metaphorical way, but there really is some I believe some truth behind it when I see it, and that sort of trickles off into the Freightliner brand as well. For the past 15, 20 years or so, a lot of the discussions with industry and a lot of the things that we've been focusing on is basically improving air quality. When one looks at this chart here in the upper left-hand corner and talk about the progress that has been made in the quality of air, especially with the pollutants such as the particulate matters and NOx, you can see in that graph how much of a drastic reduction has been made over the past 20 some years or so. And if you can see the red dot that represents 2010, we're proud to say this is where we are as an industry today in terms of emissions. I think we take for granted today that you see a truck passing by that is not, at least a newer one, that's not blowing out a lot of smoke. And it really is a testament to the industry and also to the company that was able to do that. Interestingly, from an engineering perspective, as we made a lot of improvements in NOx emissions reductions and particulate matter, we did struggle a bit with efficiency. There is this inherent trade-off between efficiency and emissions, and we're currently clawing our way back from that. This graph in the middle basically shows since the 1960s where engine efficiencies have gone, and in 2002 and 2007 with the addition of exhaust gas recirculation, other technologies like diesel particulate filters, we took a bit of a hit of the efficiency, but we're essentially clawing our way back. And so now that the particulate matter and the NOx emissions have been reduced, looking in the future, it's basically about CO2 and where we see the regulatory directions going is a reduction of CO2, and we're currently in a phase one for the reductions. Phase two is coming up in the next 5 to 10 years or so, and then longer term as well, within the 2050 time frame, there's discussions about really aggressive reductions as well. So we see this as really an issue that's for the long haul, as it were, that we need to address. One of the ways that had been addressed is with this super truck program. The Super Truck program is essentially the an R&D program that was conceived by the Department of Energy, began in 2010. And the goal of this program was to develop a prototype vehicle which was 50% more freight efficient than the baseline vehicle, which is a 2009 Cascadia. And so it was really, for us, a really aggressive target. It was an $80 million program, 50% co-funded by the Department of Energy, 50% funded by Daimler. We're basically from 2010 to 2015. We're just actually in the last days of wrapping up the program here, as well. And so with that, I'd like to show a video that was recently created about the Super Truck program, see that how well that works. The 50% target was definitely a daunting goal.
We want to develop the most fuel-efficient truck running on the streets in North America.
The question was, how aggressive would we need to be? Each individual manufacturer received a Department of Energy Super Truck grant.
We immediately embraced it because it fit exactly our long-term strategic plans. We want continuously to improve fuel efficiency.
They not only wanted us to look at technologies that could be implemented in, say, the next 5 to 7 years, but also technologies that were 10 years or plus out. We had to do a clean sheet approach. We looked at the very beginning over the external aerodynamics of the vehicle. You try to take your ideas and shape it into something and then test it. You say, okay, is that aerodynamic? And once you get there, it's a question of how do you turn that into a real truck? So the first phase was identifying and measuring our baseline and then figuring out what we needed to do to get to 50%. The cooling team had to work with the aerodynamic team to say, okay, yes, we both need to meet our goals, but how do we do it together? Within the Super Truck program, we are able to leverage the knowledge and expertise of the global Daimler organization, experts within North America, both in Portland as well as in Detroit.
We have our global hybrid center in Japan.
Our powertrain experts, they came from Detroit and from Germany.
You can really leverage expertise across the globe, across different national labs, and that really accelerates the development of the technologies. So Supertruck features the integrated Detroit powertrain. You can downspeed the engine to reduce the frictional losses and achieve fuel consumption reduction.
In order to overcome the trade-off between aerodynamics and cooling, we came up with an innovative grille design. So open the grille only in times when cooling required and close the grille under high vehicle speeds in order to improve aerodynamics.
Waste heat recovery was not something that heavy-duty trucking had at all.
So what we try and do with heat recovery devices or systems is to recover some of that energy, especially from exhaust, which just escapes out of the tailpipe, and utilize that to drive the truck itself, thereby reducing fuel consumption.
The contribution to trailer aerodynamics was certainly a very surprising thing to us.
We looked at the nose cone, trailer side skirts, and the boat tail.
Over two-thirds of the benefit actually come from the trailer.
How that affected the tractor, things like eco-roll and hybrid, we had more energy to recuperate simply because the tractor and trailer were more aerodynamic as a system.
At the end, we achieved 150% freight efficiency improvement on public route in Texas between San Antonio and Dallas. We also saw better than 12 miles per gallon fuel consumption, which is amazing. Never heard about in the industry.
A 1% in freight efficiency over the 10,000 vehicles running at 120,000 miles per year, I mean, you're saving millions of gallons of fuel.
We have to invest in the future, not just of our company or the economy of the United States, but in the future of the entire planet.
We were able to work on very high-risk, high-reward technologies and provide functional demonstration on a linehaul vehicle.
The Super Truck program provided us the opportunity to see what's really possible. Not today, not next year, but many years into the future.
If I go down to the Super Truck store with my checkbook, what's the vapor trail of zeros look like to buy one of those?
Madam Chair, I'd prefer not to respond to that.
Thank you. That's pretty impressive.
About $2 million.
So this, colleagues, questions? Is this truck still, at this point, just in research and development, or are there any in commercial application right now?
Madam Chair, that's a great question. The super truck itself will not be a production vehicle as such. It was meant to be a prototype demonstrator to showcase and to develop as many fuel efficient technologies as we could. For those that showed promise and a good business case, we spin those technologies off into the product today. And in fact, a 2015 tractor that one would purchase would see aerodynamic benefits, powertrain benefits, as well as engine benefits that were learnings from the super truck. There are also other technologies, such as the hybrid system or the waste heat recovery that was discussed before. Currently, we don't see a path to production, as it were.
Senator, Representative, what's it?
What's your fuel on that? Diesel?
Madam Chair, Representative, what's it? Diesel. Standard diesel. That was a requirement of the program.
Thank you very much. Representative Nierman.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to get in. So one thing, and this maybe isn't even the right panel to ask this question, but I'll just chip shot it in there, and if you want to just look at, give me a dumb look and just send it back, that's fine. But we've been talking with the Oregon Business Development Department about some of their things, and I don't know how familiar you are with them, but they have these things called Signature Research Centers. It's ONAMI, OTRADI, some other ones that aren't maybe Signature Research Centers, but be like SOAR, where they have test ranges for drone technology. So I'm seeing by your nodding, you're a little bit familiar with them at least. And one of the things that that I notice about those initiatives is that they're not very tightly coupled with universities, and yours is obviously it's very tightly coupled with universities. And I'm wondering about, but it seems like it's kind of the same goal coming out the end is to create high-paying jobs. So I'm wondering, what's the best model, or what are the arguments for doing it with a tightly coupled with the university's model, or in the case of these signature research centers where they almost have no interaction with the universities? And I'll let Representative Reed correct me if I'm wrong, because he knows these better than I do. But I don't know do you have any comments on those, or what are your thoughts?
Madam Chair, Representative Nierman, actually Representative Reed and I have had this discussion several times, and at his urging, I contacted those folks and we talked about it. By and large, you sort of take advantage of the opportunities that present themselves to you, and having a world-class engineering university and a world-class truck research facility in Oregon was a little different than some of the projects that you may be familiar with. By and large, those were a little smaller projects. And they weren't as clear-cut in terms of what the eventual result would be. And recognize that what we're talking about here is a three-year pilot. I mean, before we start the three-year pilot, there's a relationship between the two entities. And they work together a bit on the super truck, and they've done some other stuff. We'd like to do the three-year pilot as a proof of concept. Once we do that, I think you'll see that this thing will take off, and we don't envision necessarily any future state support of the kind that we're talking about here. There may be a particular research project or something that you might want to invest in that becomes part of this at OSU, but we're thinking that this is the pilot. It will fund itself in a variety of ways going forward, which is not necessarily the same concept with those others. As Mr. Rott says, has said to me several times, this is scalable. I mean, we're talking about having two fellows work for 2 years apiece. And I think I mentioned at the beginning of my presentation that when we started this, Daimler had over 100 vacancies for graduate engineering students. So if this works, then I think you're going to see that it will be ramped up. And we've talked about attracting funds from a variety of different places. Some would be industry investment. Daimler certainly matched the Department of Energy in investing in the super truck program. That's not uncommon in those kinds of things. There are lots of federal programs where you can get matching money. And you saw $500,000 in our proposal for the one-to-one industry match. Well, industry, federal government, that was the idea, is that that money would attract other money. So I think we think that this program will quickly eclipse and those others. Those others are great, and I'm not criticizing them at all. But I don't think that they are quite of the same caliber, nor do I think that they have the potential that this one does.
So apples and oranges, maybe.
Exactly.
Just as a postscript, because I can read Representative Reed's mind, I'm going to call on him to distinguish the industry initiatives and the signature research.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as you may know, Representative Nierman, Senator Johnson is also an ex officio member of the Oregon Innovation Council. I think that the distinction is right. Those industry-led initiatives are distinct from the signature research centers, and the signature research centers are very much integrated with universities. In fact, that's part of the reasons for their existence, that they bring together disparate elements of different institutions that wouldn't necessarily be world-class in the same way on their own, but can be as a result of the combination. So they exist as a separate entity because they are pulling from different elements of different universities. But I, as you know, I think they're one of the best things going in Oregon. Yeah.
I might analogize also to the metals initiative, which has a one-on-one industry match. It would be more akin to this kind of very narrow scope. You have one thing to focus on, and that is this truck engineering, as opposed to lots of ideas spinning out. So you're much closer to the metals. And the metals, the beauty of the metals initiative that's run out of Oregon Business Development Department is that's clearly industry working with industry. And to the degree that academia plays a role, academia. They're doing some remarkable stuff, corrosion-proof welds that are applicable to the Golden Gate Bridge that's in a dreadful environment of salt water and bad weather. Senator Hansel.
Madam Chair, I just want to make sure that you're done with your slides, because slides 12 and 13, at least what I have here, show the timelines and the partnership and stuff. I want to make sure you...
We got a little carried away with the truck, I think.
Well, some of the questions we're asking, I think, are actually covered in your presentation.
Yeah. Madam Chair, Senator Hensel, that's correct. I think some of the nuts and bolts, we tried with some hand-waving, and I think once we get to the slides, we'll be able to sort of see that in a little more clarity.
As you queue up your next presentation, Representative Whitsitt will take your question.
Actually, it's for the Chair. Do you know what the sorts of funding would be for the $2 million? Are we looking general fund? Are we looking at...
Right now, I think the point of today's hearing was to introduce the concept as something that is, among others, in the hunt for money out of this legislature. I don't have a specific source right this second. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
There are opportunities, however. Please continue.
As mentioned before, the results of the program were pretty exciting. We did well exceed the target of the 50%. We did achieve a 115% improvement in freight efficiency on our one of our test routes. We averaged 12.2 miles per gallon versus a 6.1 mile per gallon baseline. For those in the trucking industry, that's a pretty eye-opening number. For those outside. But you have to believe me, it is a significant improvement. And that being said, when we look at the regulations, greenhouse gas regulations, 10 years down the line, this sort of technology, if it matures, can help support that. But if we start looking at the longer term, 2050 and those sorts of aggressive targets, quite frankly, trucking is going to struggle with that. It was alluded to earlier that electrification may not be feasible, like with passenger cars, and I completely agree with that. By our calculations, to haul 80,000 pounds of freight 600 miles a day, you would need about 30,000 pounds of batteries and no room for freight, and I really don't see any way around that at this point. So this is sort of dilemma that kind of is imposed on trucking that we wanted to try and resolve with this lab as well. This is a kind of an eyesore of a chart, but basically it lists the separate technologies on that was included on the super truck versus the baseline vehicle, and as you can see, it wasn't just one or two systems; it was actually a large number of highly complex systems, and with a really a mind-boggling set of issues to resolve and trade-offs to overcome. And what we discovered through the program was that some of the interactions between the systems would sometimes cancel each other out. Sometimes they would actually act as a multiplier effect that kind of work in harmony, and that was something that we learned through the program. But it was a tremendous learning experience, and also for some of those more promising technologies with a good business case, we were able to make use of that. I'll, in the interest of time, I'll kind of slide over this. I talked a little bit about it before, kind of where we are in a freight efficiency perspective, baseline vehicle, super truck. Again, if you're looking, 75 or 80% reduction in CO2 emissions, you're really pushing the envelope there, well beyond even what super truck would be for a 2050 time frame. And so it's, again, it's this sort of context that we think bringing a research institute together and building up a lab to address these specific issues would be beneficial. So what, maybe one question that would come up is in terms of the research and development, is there not stuff going on already? Certainly, in the area of passenger car research, there's a lot of work being done at universities and so on. Heavy duty, there is a lot of research on engine development itself and combustion and those sorts of things. If we look at heavy duty vehicles, by that I mean the component apart from the engine, there's not a lot of research institutes that I'm aware of that have focus on this aspect. And so this is kind of what I see as an opportunity or a niche that this truck research lab can address. Because certainly there's a lot more than just an engine when it comes to finding ways to save fuel. Here's kind of the nuts and bolts breakdown of the lab, not so much from the budget perspective, but sort of excerpts of the MOU that we have drafted with OSU. We are looking at a 3-year pilot program, so essentially starting September 2015, ending in June of 2018. We would have two graduate fellows that would be staggered as part of the program. And then also the idea would be the graduate students would also mentor undergraduate programs, capstone programs, to maybe look at smaller scope projects, but also to give them the hands-on experience, being able to to see, touch, and feel a truck, to have access and work with the engineering data, and really be a productive engineer while at school. What Daimler is signing up to do is sort of help craft and define what those research topics are in terms of where are the big needs. We talked about some of the areas that could be a focus. We have already provided a gift of a Class 8 tractor. The title transfer has occurred, and that was last fall. Actually, at a football game during Daimler Day, I guess it was. So, We intend to provide access to the relevant CAD data. So this is the engineering data that gives the engineers a ability to work with, as well as summer internships. We had actually tried last summer to set something up. It wasn't quite ready yet, but we did commit then. We hired an intern for the summer, and we're actually actively recruiting right now a summer intern that would be a prospective fellow, because we want to sort of keep in pace with the school year. And then OSU's commitments to be able to provide the facilities to work with the engineering data, to work with the vehicle, tools, oversight, and so on and so forth.
Are those things in place? The facility is there? There's no capital ask in this.
Madam Chair, the tractor is there. I think it's just on a covered parking spot right now, but there's no other facilities, to my knowledge.
Madam Chair, this does contemplate a building, which could be funded separately from the rest of the proposal.
Well, the proposal right now is $2 million. That's not going to buy you much of a building.
OSU has indicated $750,000.
Yeah, so the way that's broken out is $500,000 of that is for facility. There's a building that's currently being set up adjacent to the Hinsdale Wave Research Lab. And so we're looking at a part of that facility that would be facilitized for the truck research laboratory. And then $250,000 for some of the test stand equipment that would be more generic, that would apply across lots of different research projects.
Madam Chair, we provided also the facilities requirements, what it would take to maintain and operate and fix a truck, so to say. To the last slide, this is speaks to the timeline that we've been envisioning, the two graduate fellow programs. Again, we envisioned two master's students to be staggered over a period of 3 years. Each bar in gray represents a school year for a given fellow. The green bars indicate the internship time periods that Daimler is committing to. In that second year, when both students would be on board, that would be a sort of a year for transfer of knowledge, transfer of skills and capabilities to make sure that to set up in place a rhythm, as it were, to be able to sustain this and not have it be one person has the knowledge and then graduates and leaves. And again, some benefits with undergraduates as well, once the lab gets more established, to be able to create these capstone programs that would be suitable for undergraduates as well and provide them good opportunities. And this last slide is a repeat what Brian had showed before. That's all I have.
Thank you. Colleagues, questions? Thank you very much for coming. I guess the question I have is, I had the privilege of being at the groundbreaking out on Swan Island for your beautiful new building, and how far along is it now?
Madam Chair, it's approximately four or five stories of structure right now, and it's on track. It's a little bit ahead of schedule, and our target for the building is to be the first building on the east side of the Willamette River in Portland that will be LEED Platinum certified, and so we're that's our target anyway on it. And end of 2016 is when the folks move in.
And going back to Representative Whitsitt's comment about what Daimler gets out of this, Daimler now with this headquarters building in Portland has made a substantial investment in their long-term future here as part of the corporate community of Oregon. And I saw the schematics of that building, and it's going to be breathtaking.
Madam Chair, I agree.
Thank you all. Any concluding remarks? Colleagues, any concluding questions? There being none, we thank you for your time. I was hoping that Mr. Russell would have the super truck parked out in front of the Capitol, but he fell down on that, and it's noted for the record. There being nothing else to come before the committee, Mr. Bender, I think we've got announcements about tomorrow. I believe we're canceled for
tomorrow's meeting is canceled. We will send out a notification for the schedule for next week. The subcommittee co-chairs a meeting immediately following this meeting to work on that.
So, any concluding comments? They're seeing none. We're adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Including comments? They're seeing none. We're adjourned.
Thank you very much. Any